MLK. And now, here's Jack Patty.
Good morning. Welcome into the 9 to 10 show for Friday, 27th of February. Brought to you by Landscaper's Corner, 1305 Old Frankfort Pike. Landscaper's Corner has the largest selection of natural stone in our area. Call 225-9433. And our question of the day brought to you by United Structural Systems, your foundation repair and waterproofing experts. iFixFoundations.com. 859-254-7700. All right, Ray, you always like me to ask you the question of the day. And Commonwealth Attorney Ray Larson, should there be a law limiting the number of times a person can be divorced? It's your question.
No.
Okay. Tell us at WBLKAM.com. Tune in for the results with Cruiser and Crew between noon and 3. Yesterday was almost exactly a tie. Should Republicans hold a caucus instead of a Senate primary next year to accommodate Rand Paul's presidential aspirations?
No.
48% said no, 52% said yes. So that was pretty much a push, as they say in Las Vegas. Good morning, Mr. Larson.
Hey, Jack. But think about it. I mean, all he wants to do is run for two things at once.
Right.
Yeah, that's just, yeah, come on.
I agree with you.
Make up your mind.
I wouldn't make a special deal about that. All right, we are going to visit with an assistant Commonwealth attorney that kicked it, that just flat got the job done, as she always does, and a police officer this morning who was involved in this case. Tell us about it.
This is a homicide case, murder case, that occurred a while back, because it takes a long time to get cases to trial, murder cases to trial anymore.
Longer than it used to, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And Tracy Kinnear was the prosecutor in the case.
Pull that mic right up to you. And good morning, Tracy.
Good morning, Jack.
And I was telling Jack just before we went on the air, before you came in here, he said, seems to me Tracy kind of has her act together. And I said, well, appearances can fool you.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I do my best.
But she is, I told Jack, that you are a obsessive compulsive preparer, that there's nothing you don't know about your case.
That's a good thing.
Oh, yeah, before you go to trial.
Now, that's good.
Steve McCowan is a detective with the homicide unit, and he and Reed Bowles were responsible for the investigation of this case. Reed was scheduled to be here. And Steve, what was the choice?
It was either work all night trying to find a robber or come in and do the radio show with you, sir. So I chose radio show with you.
Good for you.
Well, now you understand how full of it
right
Steve is.
Right, exactly.
Tell us about this case.
First of all, let me start off by saying I didn't kick it in this case. The detectives kicked it in this case.
Good.
And Steve can tell you a little bit about that, but the way that they investigated this case absolutely made for a very easy prosecution. They did a fabulous job.
I mean, this case was simply us following up on some information and some things that we did at the scene, not only with us, but with our investigators through our guys that collect evidence. They are the ones that really helped us out, and we were able to follow up on those leads and ultimately find this guy. And we were able to find a lot of the evidence that he left behind in the meantime.
Steve.
Yes, sir.
We try to tell a story here.
Okay.
And we kind of need to know when it happened.
All right.
And tell us the specifics of what you as a homicide unit found at the scene, and then how you went about following up all these leads. Because this thing lasts about an hour, and you could finish it up right now, and then Jack would have the rest of the
and
hour
have
to tap dance, right?
So how long ago, Ray mentioned it was a while back, when did this crime
November
occur?
The 3rd of 2013, we got called to a house over on Tishoff Drive. The victim in this case had been transported to the University of Kentucky Hospital, but myself and Detective Bowles responded to the residence. We located quite a bit of evidence there, along with our forensic technician guys.
But what did you find at the scene?
We located large amounts of blood. We located objects that have been used as weapons, as far as broken vases, canes that have been splintered, things of that nature, objects that we believe that were used to beat our victim multiple times. We also located a knife in the kitchen area near the sink that it appeared to have been washed off. And then as we went through the house, we also located evidence that we believe could possibly be our suspect's blood. In this case, turned out to be Mitch Stacy, back in the bedroom of the victims there, Tom Rogers and his wife Suzanne.
How old was Mr. Rogers?
Tom was 74 years old. Had just turned 74. He and his wife had been married for a number of years. They were well traveled. We located lots of things in there that we knew that they had been all across the United States and had a very long, that had been with one another and enjoyed their company for a long time.
They were both victims.
Miss Rogers actually came home and found her husband.
Oh, okay.
So she was not home when the murder took
when
place.
When did it occur?
Around 5:30, to the best of our knowledge.
In the afternoon?
Between 5 and 5:30 in the evening. Yes, sir.
Okay, now tell us what the connection was. Why that you mentioned that the defendant's name was Stacy, and that you came to, were called to this, probably were called to the residence, but the body had already been transported?
It had. So we had also sent detectives to the hospital to try to determine the injuries that we were looking at to sort of go along with what we were seeing at the scene. Mr. Stacy was the son to the Rogers house cleaner. She had cleaned their houses for some time, and her son, Mr. Stacy, had come to know the Rogers on a few occasions. He had been with his mother while she was there doing housework.
Was Mr. Rogers deceased when his wife discovered him?
Or he was still alive, barely hanging on at that point. But the once we arrived, we had contacted our fire department. The fire department came and then transported him to the hospital, where ultimately he was there just moments before he was pronounced deceased.
So she came home and found him, and she called, I guess, did she call 911?
She did. She contacted 911. Our guys were just moments away as far as patrol officers. Did an excellent job as far as securing everything within the residence and doing a follow-up investigation with the surrounding neighbors. Our guys just did an incredible job for the time that they were there in locating very good pieces of evidence and actually walking Miss Rogers through to show us things that wasn't right within the residence.
What is the protocol, Steve, when the original officers come to a scene like that? I know there's protocol. Is it lock everything down?
In most cases, yes. I mean, we do not want anyone in that residence that's going to contaminate it further.
Yeah.
But in this situation, it was one where the officers that were there felt like something just wasn't right within the house. So they walked Miss Rogers back through to sort of show them what was different when she left. It was important to make that determination, mm-hmm. because when the officers got there, they saw things that to them that stuck out. So they wanted to make sure what they were seeing were when they walked Miss Rogers back through. Is that not the way that it was when you left?
And what did Mrs. Rogers tell them?
She was very helpful. I mean, she knew exactly when she left where Tom was. What things had been done to the house. When we went through there, it looked like some of the bedrooms had been gone through. So she was able to verify that with the officers, the patrol officers that were there, and said, yeah, this is different. This is amiss. This has been, what you might say, tampered with. So she was able to confirm all of that for us.
Now, forensic services, which are the CSI guys, for all practical purposes, for the Lexington Police Department, when they come in, this is after the yellow tape has been put up to keep people out of the scene, they come in and they do a number of things, and one of which is they videotape the entire scene. Isn't that correct?
That's correct.
Yeah, and why do they do that?
The reason for that is to get a exact replication. They try to recreate that scene, so when it does come time for the trial, the jurors can see just exactly what we saw on that day at that time.
So you, do you always show that at trial, the video?
Yeah, sure. You know, it's interesting, Jack, because when you're in a trial, you're over here in circuit courthouse, mm-hmm. and everything is very calm, and everything is a nice facility and that sort of thing. But that isn't exactly what was happening when this 74-year-old man was stabbed repeatedly and beaten and that sort of thing. And you have to try to recreate this scene for the jury, so they can kind of get it.
Taking a break. If you have a question or comment, 253-5959. Touch star 590 from AT&T. Toll free from anywhere, 1-877-777-0590. Or email jackpatty@wvlkam.com. 19 minutes after 9, if you need a loan, there is no hassle at the castle. The biggest discounter of diamonds and fine jewelry. Here's the forecast. Partly sunny up to the low 20s today. For tonight, should be clear and cold, a low in the single digits. Tomorrow, increasing cloudiness, a high in the low 30s. And on Sunday, cloudy with scattered showers and a high expected to reach the low 40s. Checking the radar right now, we have no precipitation, sunny skies, but it just can't get much past the single digits. We're up to 10 degrees and sunny at your official weather station, News Talk 590 WVLK. We're about to wrap up our trip to Ireland, and when I say wrap it up, sell it out, is what I mean. We'll be leaving Lexington June the 18th and fly to Dublin. That's in southern Ireland, and during the next 12 days, we will make our way up to Belfast, which is in Northern Ireland, and we'll spend a couple of nights there before going back around the other way. We're going to make a big circle and end up back in Dublin, where we'll fly back to Lexington. This is a 12-day trip that has been put together by YMT Vacations. Now, I've done four trips with this company, and they're really good at what they do. What they're really good at is putting a lot of stuff in a fairly short amount of time without wearing you out. We will see everything that I've ever heard of in Ireland, and a few things I haven't, all the high spots. But in addition to that, they also build in time to be on your own. Some people like to just to go out and do some exploring on their own. Others enjoy vacations where you can put your feet up and just relax. There's a lot of time in that you do whatever you want to. Cost is very attractive. I know this is not, you wouldn't think this is cheap, but when you think about what you get, it's very, I think, very competitive. $3,059 plus tax. That includes hotels, airfare from Lexington, which is a big chunk of it. Our driver, who will be one of the local folks there that will be with us the whole time. And 6 dinners, 10 breakfasts, sightseeing. Here's the telephone number, 1-888-817-8360 for information. Get your questions answered. You can also get signed up by calling 1-888-817-8360.
News Talk 590.
You search the web every day. Now get rewarded for it. Join Bing Rewards for free and enter for a chance to win a Surface Pro 3, an Xbox One prize pack, or $500 gift cards from Sephora or GameStop. Click on the banner or go to bingrewards.com today to join and get 100 bonus credits. With Bing Rewards, you can earn credits for searching with Bing, redeem them for sweepstakes entries, popular gift cards, or even donate them to charity. Join today and get 100 bonus credits.
Get connected, get entertained, get local with News Talk 590 WVLK. Your favorite show streamed right to your computer, tablet, or smartphone. Download the WVLK app today at WVLKAM.com.
Thanks for asking, but I'd rather not send you nude pictures. I'm camera shy. I already said no. Under my clothes, I'm a robot. My webcam is broken. I'm worried they'll get passed around school. I have a rash. I have nudophobia. I have lizard skin. I'm a vampire, so I don't show up in pictures anyways. Your badgering has really killed the mood.
When someone is pressuring you to do something you don't want to, how many ways can you say no before they get the message? Let us know at thatsnotcool.com. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Don't wait until a disaster strikes to make a plan for you and your family. Make one ahead of time. To learn how, take our readiness challenge at nyc.gov/readynewyork or call 311 for information. Brought to you by the New York City Office of Emergency Management and the Ad Council. The core.
The core. Every everything good for your mind, body, and soul. The Core.
Worried about your chances of type 2 diabetes? Especially if you have something called pre-diabetes. That means your blood sugar level tends to run a little higher than normal, but you're not in the diabetes range. Well, if you do nothing at all, anywhere between 15 to 30% of people with that condition will develop diabetes within 5 years. Now, according to a new study out of Spain, people with pre-diabetes who ate about 2 ounces of pistachios every day showed a significant drop in blood sugar and insulin levels, and improvements in some cases. Any kind of nuts, they say, could be linked to a lower risk of heart disease and lower cholesterol. Just gotta watch the quantity. Nuts can be a little high in fat. Best choices, of course, for your health, unsalted and plain. And pistachios, by the way, they say are also great for weight loss simply because they take time to shell, and that way it slows you down a little bit and you don't eat as much. That's the Core. What does it mean when Geico says just 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance? Means you probably should have gone to geico.com 15 minutes ago.
590 WVLK live anywhere, anytime at WVLKAM.com.
25 minutes after 9 o'clock, 925-253-5959. Touch star 590 from AT&T. Toll free from anywhere, 1-877-777-0590. Or email jackpatty at WVLKAM.com. Ray?
Tracy, let's talk a little bit about the initial meeting you have with the police, our prosecutors. Jack, when there's a homicide, we have a meeting with the homicide detectives pretty quickly. So we can kind of begin getting our arms around the case. And when they go through it, we look for things that still need to be done in order for us to put on take the case to the grand jury for their consideration. In preparation for a trial. So let's talk to us about that meeting and what you learned and what still needed to be done, and let's go from there.
Well, when I first sat down with Detective Bowles and and these folks, they had already done a tremendous amount. And by following this case, not only through the house, but all the way down to Manchester, they had information pretty quickly that, based on a sketch, a drawing that had been done, that they thought that Stacy was the guy.
Well, how were they able to do the sketch?
Well, that was from neighbors, I believe.
Yeah, we located neighbors that had seen Mitch leaving, and there were probably three or four different folks that had seen him in the neighborhood after he left the residence, walking along the sidewalk. And We followed up with those folks. One couple specifically were able to do a composite sketch of him that was a very close resemblance of him.
Really?
Yeah. And you know, once we were able to get that sketch, then that gave us a better understanding of who we were dealing with.
Well, let me interrupt here for a minute and talk a little bit about the process of making those sketches. Artists used to do those sketches, but now you all have a computer program that has different kind of noses and different kind of eyes and hair and hairline and that sort of thing, and that's done within the police department there.
Correct.
Yeah.
One of our detectives, and they go through quite a bit of schooling to do this, they basically sit down with the victims and they will put different aspects of facial features up there to see if that's a good rendition of that person. They'll, you know, change the eyes, change the hairstyle, things of that nature to get it. That way they don't have to do it solely from memory. They can put a hairstyle on there that may be close, but they can change it a little bit, maybe a little longer, some balding on the top, things of that nature, where they can look at it and again and say, yeah, I think that's closer than what the first one was.
You know, as a person, as a witness, though, that sounds easier than it is, I bet.
It is.
I bet that's hard to do.
It is. You know, you think in your mind as a witness, you know exactly what it was. But and we know this from the people that we talk to, everyone sees things a little bit differently.
Sure.
So, you know, one person may see hair that may be a little bit longer than the others, and someone may see, you know, scruffy beard or, you know, just a little bit of facial hair, and some person may not see that. So you know, relying on just one person, that's a little tougher. But when we had 3 to 4 different folks that saw from their own perspective, that made it a little bit easier for us.
What about
this one was good enough, I believe, that his own mother said, I believe that's my son.
Yeah, we were able to show it to her, and she said, that looks like my son.
Hmm. When he was walking down the street, was he carrying anything?
He was. He was carrying a bag that he had taken from the house. And you know, folks that, again, neighborhood people that were out there that were very cognizant of what was going on and looking around, they saw him carrying a bag. And one description of that bag was it had things in it that looked like it was lumpy, and you know, he was struggling carrying it, so that led us to believe that it was heavy, and there's some things that we had believed that he had taken from the house. So that was consistent with what we knew coming from the residence, him walking his distance with that stuff in a bag, going to his vehicle that he had parked streets away, and they even were able to give us a description of that vehicle, which was very, very specific.
Since he went in there, since he used things that were in the house to commit the murder, he didn't go in there prepared to kill somebody. He went in there to burglarize the place. Is that what the defense would say? And did that come up in the trial?
I think that Tracy, I mean, we have our theories, and I think that we had come up with a very good consensus, and I'll let her speak about that.
I don't believe that's what he went in there to do. The thing that you don't know here is that not only did Mr. Stacy know Tom Rogers, he had been basically helped by Tom Rogers many times over the years.
Financially, that kind of...
Financially, Mr. Yeah. Stacy had been in and out of prison. Mr. Rogers had given him money. He'd helped him buy a car. He knew that if he needed money, he could ask Tom Rogers for it. He didn't need to assault him. He didn't need to murder him. He didn't need to burglarize. He went in there with an evil intent, as far as I'm concerned.
All right, we're taking a break. 253-5959. Touch star 590 from AT&T, toll free from anywhere, 1-877-777-0590. Email jackpatty at wvlkam.com.
You've asked for News Talk 590 WVLK. Depend on it.
Good morning from the News Talk 590 WVLK Pharmacy Shop Information Center. I'm Scott Johnson. Here's what's happening. New video released by ISIS shows militants smashing what they say are antiquities at a museum in Iraq. Men shove statues off pedestals, use hammers, drills to destroy what's left. An unnamed militant offers an explanation. The quote, "These idols were from people in past centuries and were worshipped instead of God. When God Almighty orders us to destroy these statues and idols, we must do it, even if they're worth billions." That's a quote. So what's this net neutrality thing? The FCC adopted historic internet rules yesterday to more strictly regulate the web. The central question was whether network owners like Comcast or Time Warner Cable can discriminate what runs on their cables. The FCC's answer, no. FCC rules won't be official until maybe summertime. Major telecom companies will challenge the new rules in court. News at the top and bottom of the hour. Breaking news instantly. Depend on Lexington's news, weather, and traffic leader, News Talk 590 WVLK.
We have more Arctic air with us on the start to your weekend, but that'll change by late in the weekend, so good news there, but it's still cold today. Partly sunny, low 20s, single-digit near-record lows overnight. Saturday, increasing clouds with highs around freezing. A brief morning mix over to light rain shower Sunday, so it'll be a wetter end of the weekend, but also milder. Sunday's highs in the mid-40s. That's the LEX 18 Storm Tracker three-day forecast. I'm meteorologist Tom Ackerman on your official weather station, News Talk 590 WVLK.
Nothing on the radar, sunny skies, 10 above at your official weather station, News Talk 590 WVL.
All right, now traffic with the Shell Automotive Traffic Center. Still trying to clean things up around Versailles Road and Man of War. Also other problems, Versailles Road at Parker's Mill on the inbound side, and outbound Versailles at Bordeaux. We had earlier accidents, too, trying to get all those wrapped up this morning. Just give yourself an extra few minutes. The morning rush hour kind of settling down. Right now, traffic with the Scheller Automotive Traffic Center. I'm Brad Brunson, News Talk 590 WVLK.
You know, it's that fine line, you know, and I think a lot of fans do cross it, and I think the media crosses it when they start asking the silly questions.
When we did have the special, you know, when we had Davis and Kid Gilchrist, you knew at crunch time, okay? You just knew that Kid Gilchrist was going to come up, make a play, or Anthony Davis was going to do something spectacular.
Sunday morning sports with Gary Ball, 9 to 11 on News Talk 590 WVLK.
You search the web every day. Now get rewarded for it. Join Bing Rewards for free and enter for a chance to win a Surface Pro 3, an Xbox One prize pack, or $500 gift cards from Sephora or GameStop. Click on the banner or go to bingrewards.com today to join and get 100 bonus credits. With Bing Rewards, you can earn credits for searching with Bing, redeem them for sweepstakes entries, popular gift cards, or even donate them to charity. Join today and get 100 bonus credits.
In celebration of the month of love, we're giving away Fantasy Couples Flyaways. What's your idea of a fantasy trip with your honey? A spa getaway, a fun trip to a casino, a trip to see your favorite band, a relaxing beach vacation? Every week we'll feature a different fantasy flyaway package, and you and your honey could win.
For more details on how to enter, visit the station's website today, and you could be on the way to the Manchester Grand Hyatt in San Diego, California.
The Waterfront Manchester Grand Hyatt in San Diego boasts Pacific Ocean and city views from every room. 8 on-site dining options, 2 rooftop swimming areas, fire pits, tennis and basketball courts, plus a full-service Marilyn Monroe spa and salon. Step outside the front doors and you'll find the Seaport Village shopping area, cruises on the bay, the Gas Lamp Quarter, the world-famous San Diego Zoo, San Diego Downtown Waterfront Hotel, Manchester Grand Hyatt San Diego.
Listen to Red Eye Radio all night because the news doesn't wait till 6 a.m. Red Eye Radio, overnight on News Talk 590 WVLK.
253-5959, touch star 590 from AT&T, toll free from anywhere, 1-877-777-0590. Email jackpatty at WVLKAM.com. Commonwealth Attorney Ray Larson is with us, and Assistant Commonwealth Attorney Tracy Kinnear and Detective Steve McCallan. By the way, Ray, they had to cancel or postpone the prosecutors' convention, which was to take place last week, and the weather was miserable, and you had guys and girls coming in from all over the state. It's going to be next week, right?
Yes.
And you will bring in some folks on Tuesday.
Yes.
Good, because I always enjoy those people that come in representing the Commonwealth's attorney's offices from all over the state.
Yes, and they really enjoy coming on, and they, of course, they think you're a detective.
Well, I'm just a fan. Tell me about Manchester. You made some reference to Manchester, and I missed Manchester.
Well, I think Steve probably needs to tell you what led them to Manchester, but what they found there was fabulous.
Once Mitch left the house after he had beaten Tom to death and stabbed him, and we'll back up real quick. He left a couple pieces of evidence that were instrumental in us finding and confirming that was Mitch. He left his blood in the house at 2 different locations. After doing that,
how did he get cut? Do you know?
Probably in the assault of Mr. Rogers.
Okay.
We're feeling like when he beat him to death with one of the with a vase, he suffered a cut and he was bleeding unbeknownst to him. But as he went through the house, he left blood in a couple locations that we were able to locate. Yes, sir.
One of the things that occurs in stabbing deaths when they use, kitchen knives and that butcher knives, that sort of thing, they don't have the guard on them. And when they stab...
Hilt. Is that the right term?
To the hilt. Yeah. Good point.
Yeah.
So what happens is he gets blood on his hand and the handle, and frequently when they're stabbing, their hand slips down onto the blade.
And then they bleed.
And those are typically the kind of injuries that will cause blood to bleed a lot and drop blood around the scene. So is that a fair accurate description?
That is accurate. And we also think that he probably suffered some injury when the vase shattered that he used it to strike Mr. Rogers with. you know, we were able to look at his hands once we interviewed him, and it was consistent with that. But to move forward, after he left the house with the items that he had taken, like a pistol and some jewelry and other items, he got into his truck and he went to Manchester. And as we were doing this investigation, as we were conducting the composite and things of that, you know, things that go along with us investigating, we then were able to get a cell phone number for Mr. Stacy, and we knew that he had made some phone calls. And in the process of those, looking over those phone calls, we knew that some of them were originating from Manchester, Kentucky. And unlike Lexington, Manchester is a very rural area where there may be only one or two cell towers. In Lexington, you have a lot of cell towers where you can't get a great location of someone. But in Manchester, you're talking about maybe two cell towers. So we felt very confident that he was there. Once we had that, we then traveled to Manchester. We started talking to people. In our mind, we thought, if someone had stolen some things from a house, where are they going to go? Are they going to go to a pawn shop? So we go make contacts with some folks at a pawn shop. They didn't initially, no one had seen him there. And the last person we talked to said, yes, that guy, we know that guy. He's been up here. He's been with another kid. We identified that kid, went to that house. And as we go to make contact with him, Mitch Stacy's walking out of that house.
Wow.
We see him.
No kidding.
Yeah. He's walking down the steps across a parking lot.
You recognize him,
We
right?
recognize him because we knew at that point who he was based upon the composite and talking to his mother and getting him positively identified. We knew who he was visually. And when we saw him walking down the steps across the parking lot, we knew that was him.
Did you approach him right then?
Detective Bowles and I at that point got out and talked to him. And then he was taken from there to the state police post in London where he was interviewed.
But what was in the house?
After he was taken to the state police post, I stayed behind. Detective Bowles went with Mitch Stacy and interviewed him along with another detective with our unit. Myself and an officer, Officer Collins, who had responded initially to the scene, then made contact with the folks there in Manchester that he was staying with. When we talked to them, we were able to locate the items that he had taken from the house, which was just, in a case like that, when things are taken from the house, you never see them again. But he had offered those items up to the people living at that house as, you know, sort of a peace offering to stay there, a necklace, watch. We never located the gun, but we knew the gun had been traded for drugs to a known drug dealer down there in Manchester. So it was we were able to find specific items that had been taken from the house in Lexington on Tishoff Drive that he had taken with him to Manchester.
So that was huge.
That was huge. And one other critical piece of evidence was this distinctive vehicle that he drove. Where did you find that?
When he left Lexington, one of our witnesses that saw him leaving described to us a sort of homemade camouflage painted truck. And when we made it to Manchester after he was taken to the police post and we were talking to these folks down there, they said, yeah, he drove a truck, but he took it to the scrapyard about 3 days ago and scrapped it. Sure enough, we go to the scrapyard and we find that truck. It had been crushed. Camouflage
is that
color.
Right? Yeah, how about that? Let's go to the phones. This is Jim. Good morning, Jim.
Yes, sir. I'm not trying to be funny here about this. It's serious business. But I've always wondered, you know, when the criminal goes into a house or someplace that does the bad stuff, do some of them go to the bathroom? Are you able to ever think about getting a butt print off the toilet seat?
Well, that's an interesting question. Actually, it has happened before, hasn't it?
Well, I'm not sure. I know Reed would be just the man. I mean,
or Steve
would be just the man to be
do
the
such
butt
a thing.
Print expert.
Absolutely. I appreciate the compliment, Ray.
I've got a question about going to Manchester. And I'm sure there's some protocol regarding you can't just go into a city and take over, obviously. Did you have to coordinate with the Manchester police and the state police?
Absolutely. That is not our jurisdiction down there. However, we work with all of the agencies across Kentucky. When someone leaves our county, it doesn't mean that we can't pursue them.
Right.
We just have to work with other jurisdictions in locating that. When we do locate them, then they assist in getting them to a facility where we can interview them in an environment that is suitable to do that. So it's typically we work with a lot of different jurisdictions within Kentucky and other states also, because our murderers don't stay
in
Lexington.
Don't hang around, sure.
Lexington.
You know, one of the you asked a question earlier, because when we talk about these kind of cases, they can be pretty brutal,
right,
and that sort of thing. And you said it was the wife,
Mrs. Rogers. Yeah,
yeah. Was she notified? And this is what we try to do.
Meaning, was she notified that we were going to have this topic today on the radio show? Absolutely. This was a family that I think Steve would agree with me became very dear to us instantly. This was an extremely innocent victim, and quite frankly, we don't always have those in these cases. But Mr. Rogers was a 74-year-old man who was physically disabled, completely defenseless, sitting in his own home, opening up a mailbox that had just arrived. You don't get much more innocent than that.
Veteran?
A veteran, a Kentucky colonel, just a huge family man that was very beloved by them. Mm-hmm. And so from the very beginning, we developed a relationship with his family, with Mrs. Rogers and their two daughters, and even some of the grandchildren. And so they've become a big part of this. And so it was very important to us that they know that this was going to be on the radio so that they didn't hear from other people.
Sure.
You know, this case was just sentenced a week ago, so it's still very fresh.
Taking a break. 253-5959. Touch star 590 from AT&T. Toll free from anywhere. 1-877-777-0590. Email jackpatty@wvlkam.com. 9:45, a quarter before 10. And remember, if you need a loan, there is no hassle at The Castle, the biggest discounter of diamonds and fine jewelry. Partly sunny, low 20s today, clear and cold tonight, single digits for the low. Tomorrow, increasing cloudiness, a high in the low 30s. And on Sunday, cloudy with scattered showers and a high in the low 40s. Right now, it is sunny, but it's only 10 degrees at your official weather station, News Talk 590.
You search the web every day. Now get rewarded for it. Join Bing Rewards for free and enter for a chance to win a Surface Pro 3, an Xbox One prize pack, or $500 gift cards from Sephora or GameStop. Click on the banner or go to bingrewards.com today to join and get 100 bonus credits. With Bing Rewards, you can earn credits for searching with Bing, redeem them for sweepstakes entries, popular gift cards, or even donate them to charity. Join today and get 100 bonus credits.
Get connected, get entertained, get local with News Talk 590 WVLK, your favorite show streamed right to your computer, tablet, or smartphone. Download the WVLK app today at WVLKAM.com.
The core.
Everything good for your mind, body, and soul. The Core.
Ever since its popularity began in the 80s, it's like second nature to go for the fat-free or no-sugar varieties of some of your ordinarily full-fat favorites. But are you really doing yourself any favors? Well, nutritionists say there are some that you're better off going for the real deal, like peanut butter. The difference calorie-wise is not that great, and really when they take the fat out, they then increase sugar and other additives to replace the fat they took out. Same with salad dressing. In fact, nutritionists stress that you need a little fat on your greens to absorb those antioxidants. So when they take out the fat, again, it's a lot more sugar, kind of defeats the purpose. And you're going for turkey bacon over the real thing? Well, nutritionists say it's not that great of a difference between the two. They're both highly processed meats, and in general, you should limit your bacon intake in general. They're not making any friends with that one, are they? That's The Core. Macy's, thanks for sharing one of the best events for Macy's cardholders. Join today, get rewarded big time. See a Macy's sales associate or visit Macy's.com/thanks.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese. And guess what? Egg rolls showed up. Like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
I'm Jennifer Wild with Tech Trends, and today's Tech Trend will allow comedy clubs to charge you per laugh. There's a company in Spain that's developed this facial recognition software, and the clubs are using it to track audience responses, and then they charge them according to how much they enjoy the show. So basically, in the seat in front of you, there's a tablet on the back of that seat, and it's going to read your face as you sit there and watch the show. Each time you smile or laugh, you get charged a small fee. So at the end of the night, the people who love the show get charged more than the ones that didn't laugh. Now, I hate this for two reasons. Number one, first of all, people are going to try not to laugh to get a cheaper deal. So it's horrible for the person on stage. And if you've ever been on stage trying to entertain people and you get nothing back, it's the worst feeling ever. Now, secondly, I'm sometimes a pity laugher. I might smile or chuckle when a comedian bombs just because I feel bad for them. So I would get charged more for just trying to ease their awkwardness, even though the show stunk. So I'm not a fan of this plan. Interesting idea, but not for me.
Two 5 3 59 59 Touchstar 590 from AT&T, toll free from anywhere, 1-877-777-0590. Email jackpatty at wvlkam.com. We got to get into this case, but real quickly, let's take this call from Price. Price, good morning.
Good morning. Ray, I want to thank you and your group for the excellent job you did here. I knew Tom for almost 40 years.
Oh, really?
Yes, he and my father worked together.
I'm glad you called. Tell us about him.
Well, the only thing, first of all, he and Tom Graham are members of our sportsman's club, and everybody down there loved him. I used to be the chairman of our Christmas fund, and every year Tom would come in October at the meeting and I'd stick his hand out and say, "Hi, how you doing?" And when I took my hand away, there'd be a very large amount of money in my hand.
Wow.
Nice. He was a magnetic personality. Pulled you to him, and the next thing you know, you're crying, you're laughing so hard.
Nice.
We're at a very big loss in this state because of him being gone.
Well, you're good to call because far too often in these situations, we don't get to know who the victims are, and the criminal justice system is really the criminal system, because their victims find that there's no justice in it.
And I'm sure from listening to you talk, you got to know the family. I say you probably know him very well right now yourself.
Well,
absolutely,
Tracy, I'm sure it does. Yeah.
Okay, well,
thank you
we
very
appreciate
much
the call.
Price. Thanks.
All right,
let's get to the trial here.
Okay, right. Now this was a murder that occurred in the course of a robbery in the first degree.
Can I say what I think that means?
Sure.
Death penalty eligible?
Yes, it is.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so what happened in this case, Tracy, was what?
Well, I can tell you, first of all, in 18 years of doing this, this is one of only two cases that I truly feel could have gotten the death penalty at trial. There are a lot of cases that fit within that qualification, but this one had all of the elements that I think a jury could actually give it. Like the caller that just came in, once you got to know Tom Rogers, you would want to impose the death penalty for what he suffered. However, who suffers along with that kind of process is the family.
Right.
And when you have a case like this where the evidence is so strong and the case is so good, the defense comes to us almost immediately wanting anything but the death penalty. We don't plead murder cases as a general rule.
Here's what we don't do. Unless the evidence goes south on us, meaning that we discover things that will cause issues for us at trial. And in this instance, when they come and they say, "Look, we're willing to plead to life in the penitentiary without the possibility of parole," which means this Stacy character is going to die in prison. Then we communicate with the family, and if we went to trial and got the death penalty, this thing would be appealed for long after I'm dead and buried, which is what happens. And so we take into consideration the feelings of the family, and they don't want to go through it over and over and over again. And so this guy pled guilty, and I guess in the last week or two.
That's correct. He pled guilty to life without parole on the murder.
The maximum on robbery, tampering with physical evidence, and he just happened to be a persistent felony offender in the first degree.
What had he done previously? What was his record?
I don't remember. His prior off the top
of my head, okay.
Yeah, I don't remember off the top
there
of my head.
Several.
Yeah, there were several felony convictions, though.
No surprise. But but by law, all that runs concurrently. Obviously, it's kind of a moot issue with the life without parole conviction.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So Judge Clark sentenced him to that last week.
And does that really mean life without parole?
Yes.
It does?
In this instance, it does.
Okay.
Life, just a straight life sentence does not. It means you see a parole board in 20 years.
Yeah.
You can also have life without parole for 25, but this was a truly life without parole conviction.
There will be people who will say, why do we have to feed this guy and house him for the next, how old is he?
He's in his 30s.
30s, yeah. Okay, for the next 50 years.
That will actually be cheaper than the appeals process that we would have funded his attorneys to conduct.
Would it really?
Wow. We'd still be paying for him to house him and feed him during that time as well.
You know, I don't know that. Tracy says that, but I don't necessarily agree. This is typical of our office. I get no control over any of these people. But what happens, if you figure out, they'll say it costs... $15,000 to $20,000 a year to keep somebody in prison.
And times 50.
At times 50, and you're going to have a lot of money.
But what we're not going to have is all the attorney's fees.
Yeah.
And I mean, he would have the public defenders filing stuff for him, working for him, basically from now until the day he died.
Yeah.
It would take that long, and we'd probably never see an actual execution.
Remember, I always like to say that the greatest cause of death for death row inmates in Kentucky is old age, because the circuit judge Phil Shepard over in Frankfort is letting this whole death penalty thing languish on his desk. It's been 5 years now, and my request to Phil Shepard is, come on, let's get with it. But he probably doesn't listen to me much. So, this was a very brutal and interesting case, and was handled by one of the prosecutors in our office that I think is just the obsessive compulsive preparer, and the police department, as usual. The homicide unit did an excellent job investigating, as well as the first responders and that sort of thing, and I want to commend Steve and Reed and the others, because when you all get this kind of a case, everybody gets on it for the first 48 hours, don't they?
Absolutely. It's not just Reed and I. I mean, we have a bunch of people in our office that drop everything that's going on in cases that they have, and it's all hands on deck whenever we have an investigation like this.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Thanks for the good work. Thank you, Tracy. See you next week, Ray.
See you Tuesday.
Oh, see you Tuesday. That's right. Stand by. We have an update from the Information Center coming up next, live with Lee Follows. I will be back Monday morning at 6, 5 Central.
Glover talks sports weekdays 6 to 8.
I'd say it's getting to the point now where Florida State looks like just the inmates are in the asylum. Given what we know about what's happening at Florida State, can you imagine what a quality investigator could find? I mean, there's got to... You know this isn't it. You know this isn't everything. What do they say, like, for every bad customer a restaurant or a store has, there's 10 others you're not hearing about? I think it's a similar application.
News Talk 590.
You search the web every day. Now get rewarded for it. Join Bing Rewards for free and enter for a chance to win a Surface Pro 3, an Xbox One prize pack, or $500 gift cards from Sephora or GameStop. Click on the banner or go to bingrewards.com today to join and get 100 bonus credits. With Bing Rewards, you can earn credits for searching with Bing, redeem them for sweepstakes entries, popular gift cards, or even donate them to charity. Join today and get 100 bonus credits.
With your Mayo Clinic Radio Health Minute, I'm Tracy McRae. Like most people in their 40s and 50s, it's easy to wish for the strength, stamina, and physique that we showed in our early 20s. But just like anything else in life, there are no shortcuts. HGH, or the human growth hormone, is no exception. Dr. Michael Joyner is a physiology researcher who studies human performance.
These so-called anti-aging clinics that give people hormones, you might be ahead for a while, and people might get themselves a bit buffed up. But there's no long-term evidence that this stuff works, and who knows what it's going to do when you're 70 or 80 years old.
Dr. Joyner says research has shown that a short list of healthy lifestyle behaviors will bring more positive results for everyone, regardless of age or athletic ability. He recommends that we don't smoke, be physically active, control our weight, eat wisely, including eating an early breakfast, and be socially engaged with those around us. For more information, talk with your doctor or visit mayoclinic.org. I'm Jennifer Wild with Tech Trends, and today's Tech Trend I am definitely adding to my Christmas list. You know how sometimes bad things happen and then they turn out to be really good? Well, I'm going to choose to believe that that's what happened with my Roomba vacuum cleaner. You know, the little robot vacuums? Mine died. But maybe it died so the new Dyson robotic vacuum could come into my life. They say it's more powerful, effective, and intelligent than the Roomba. Which, you know, the Roomba was a very innovative product at the time, but this thing took 16 years and $47 million to develop. It's called the Dyson 360i. It's got 8 sensors and a 360-degree camera that can map out a detailed floor plan to navigate an entire house. And you can control the whole thing from an app on your smartphone. I totally want one.
News Talk 590.
Lexington's news, weather, and traffic leader. Depend on it.
WBLK, Lexington.
A Cumulus station. It's 10 o'clock.
Overnight shootings, holders' fears, DHS funding. I'm John Trout. 9 people are dead in at least 4 separate crime scenes in a rural Missouri community. According to police, the suspected shooter is among the dead. More details are expected during an upcoming news conference. Staff at local schools have been told to arrive early for counseling sessions. U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder says the U.S. needs to be prepared for a domestic ISIS attack, but that's not what worries him most.
It is the thing that keeps me up at night, worrying about those lone wolves, those one or two people who, for whatever reason, decide to do something like we saw in Boston.
Republican House Speaker John Boehner blames Senate Democrats for the funding dispute involving the Department of Homeland Security. DHS funding runs out at midnight. Senate Democrats have been blocking a House Republican bill which links DHS funding to efforts to repeal the president's executive actions on immigration. I'm John Trout. No charges against the truck driver at the center of this week's train derailment in Southern California. The Ventura County District Attorney's Office says it will not pursue charges against Jose Alejandro Sanchez Ramirez. He was arrested Tuesday after he abandoned his truck on the tracks before it was hit by a Metrolink train in Oxnard, California. GOP Florida Senator Marco Rubio attacked the Obama administration foreign policy before the annual CPAC gathering this morning.
A government that increasingly controls every aspect of our life, from our health care choices to now even the internet. And a foreign policy that treats the Ayatollah in Iran with more respect than the Prime Minister of Israel.
Robert De Niro is caught up on his bills. The famous actor wrote a check for about $6.4 million yesterday after learning the IRS was slapping him with a lien for tax delinquency. A spokesman for De Niro says the actor was unaware of the debt because the IRS delivered the